Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Randy.
And I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week, we're excited to bring to you a special episode entitled Disney World by the Numbers.
Nice, yeah. So, dude, you just got back from a trip. You're a Disney World traveler.
Yeah, speaking of by the numbers, if you had to guess how many trips you've been to Disney...
Overall? Total?
Overall, yeah.
Like to
maybe as an adult, not as a child.
As an adult?
As an adult.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kayla and I have done this. She actually keeps track. And so we've talked about this on our other podcast. I don't know that I've kept track as well. I mean, it's 25 plus.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's 25 plus since, I think, 2015. Some pretty big gaps in there. If you were to ask overall, right, that would be really hard because obviously I was born in Burbank, California, mm-hmm. grew up going to Disneyland, had been ever since I was a kid. There's trips I don't remember. There's trips I do remember, but it's been a lot. And then, you know, I went once as a teenager after we moved to Texas. That was a memorable experience for very different reasons. And then I didn't go again until after we got married, and it was kind of a late honeymoon. We went to Disneyland. You know, California Adventure was a new thing.
Yeah.
Well, a newer thing at that point. We didn't go. We were poor, so we could barely afford actually to go to just Disneyland. And then we didn't go for many years until we had multiple kids by that point, and you know, we wanted them to be in a spot. I mean, we were stroller people for our first couple trips, but our kids were old enough that by really the third time we went, we didn't have a stroller anymore. That was great.
Nice. So if you had to rank, because you were sending us text messages while you were there,
dude, and I was having such a good time, I stopped texting after a while.
I was texting back. I'm like, based on what you were sending us with the weather conditions, yeah. with some of the wait times, I don't see. I mean, this has to rank up there as one of your most all time great trips.
Yeah, this is probably a top. It was a top three, maybe top two trip. Just when you take the totality of everything going on at once. It was up there. I'll tell you, this for me, on a personal level, is an important trip because our oldest son, who's 18, is going to leave for school here this coming fall. Looking, just kind of forecasting ahead throughout the year what's going on professionally with our family, I don't see another family Disney trip before he leaves for school. So this was probably our last complete family vacation. You know, once they hit this spot, you don't know what's going to happen after this. Mm-hmm. We may never all together be there again in the Disney parks. And so it was a big deal to me. And I was happy we could go. And it was, you know, you get a little choked up about that.
Yeah.
It was about as perfect a trip as you could get. I mean, the weather was like this. It's one of those things, you know, we have that season in Texas, those 3 weeks, and we're like, oh, this is why I live here in Houston.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was one of those kind of weeks there. And I kid you not, fellas, like the day after we left, the storms rolled in, like the weather's been kind of ugly since. Not a drop of rain, not a drop of humidity. It was absolutely amazing. Crowds were low. We had just come off Princess Half Marathon weekend, and so those people were just shuffling out. It was amazing.
Man, buddy, you're making me choked up just listening to you talk through it and see the emotion in your eyes. That's awesome. I personally think, at least for our family, and it sounds like this is happening with yours, is there's a little bit of I don't know what to call it, a maturing as far as how your Disney vacations go. There's, you know, not that you don't have meltdowns or stressful moments, but it just seems like when your kids get a little bit older and they have gotten into the Disney groove, it sounds like you're in a good spot right now.
It is. And I think that's an awesome point. I mean, again, there weren't any meltdowns like from anybody. I mean, I think I can think back on every trip I've ever had. And there's always been at least one moment where I have felt like, "Gah," you know,
yeah.
or someone else is having their thing. We didn't have any of that. it was also a little different. You know, we stayed at our home resort of the Polynesian. When we do that, we've got to get two rooms because there's only really two room options there. You could either go to the bungalows out in the water, which I'd love to do, but the cost or price is so ridiculous. I'm like, I just don't see that happening until I win the Powerball, which is also not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we have two rooms. You know, they're adjoining, so that's like with a lock off. So we just go in and we open the door. And, you know, at this point, my children are of a size that, you know, having them just share beds is really, it just wasn't going to happen. You know, the studio rooms at the Polynesian sleep five. You know, you have a full size slash queen bed, like regular bed. You have one of those that pull down from the wall, which is way better than the hide-a-bed couch, right? So right. You actually get a real mattress with it. I actually think that's bigger than the queen bed. Just looking at it, I'm like, wow, it seems like there's more space there. And then you have a single that kind of pulls out from...
hide-a-bed.
Yeah, but it's a real bed, and it pulls down from the cabinet, you know, underneath the TV. And so, you know, I'm going into this thinking, it's like, okay, you know, the two younger can share the queen bed, and then one of them can have the thing that folds from the wall, and the other one's going to sleep under the TV. And then mom and I, you know, we're going to just be in our own room over here like we've traditionally done. And everyone's kind of like, I'm not sharing a bed with anyone. And so, you know, awkwardly, we shared a room with our oldest son, you know, my 6'3", 14-year-old. And he, you know, sprawled out all over the place. And so it was just a little different, but it wasn't a stressful thing, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think you're right. Being able to have that flexibility helped everybody else just be able to kind of roll with it. And we had some early mornings, and we had some, like, we're just going to take our time days. And nice. It was great.
Nice.
You know, and I think for me, we use the word on this show, pro tip. And I think pro tip for me is, if you can start with your kids being younger, going to Disney as a family, and you get, like you said, Deck, you get them in that groove of going to Disney, because we are there. We are, you know, my oldest daughter has now since moved out of the house. She's been out of the house for about a year and a half. My middle one, she does band. And if you live in Texas, you know, high school band in Texas is, it's up there with, it's probably
take over
on
your
par
life
with high school football here in yep. Texas. And then my youngest is into cheer, and she's on a really competitive cheer team. So our ability to travel as a family nowadays has greatly diminished.
Yeah.
And that's why I do my Disney trips with you guys. And my wife is taking two of our girls out to Florida next week, possibly.
Yeah.
But as a family as a whole, we don't get to do that as much anymore because our lives have just changed. 5, 6, 7 years ago, back when they were all under the age of 12, it was just so much easier. Take them out of school, no activities.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To your point, Randy, it is much more difficult now. And I'm glad that you guys were able to have that experience before he takes off to school this fall. Because I'm looking back at my family, I'm like, I don't know when, as a family, when are we going to, our five, I'm just not sure when we get to go back to Disney as a five.
Yeah, it very well could be not till you guys have grandkids or something like that sort of a thing, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. And that's just going to be a completely different trip altogether.
Golly, yeah.
Right? Well. To tell you the truth, like, I don't know that I'm looking forward to those trips. I like this phase here where we're at, where I'm like, yeah, we're good. And Kayla asked at a certain point, she's just like, do you think that this is losing the magic for the older ones? I mean, they're on their phone pretty much the whole time. They each have the trend is like one AirPod in an ear. And I'm like, are you here with us? Are you not here with us? But I'm telling you, like, they wanted to be with, you know, they could go off and go do whatever they wanted, split off at any point. No big deal. They know the parks. They know their way around. They know what they want to do. Like, they wanted to be with us all together as a family. And we just had a good time. And even number two and number four, who tend to butt heads the most out of everyone, like, they just didn't have those moments. And so talk about escaping to the magic. That's what we did.
Sounds like a magical trip.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, you guys want to transition into today's episode?
I'm excited about this.
Yeah. So I was, you know,
intrigued.
I was kind of a lazy, I think it was afternoon or something like that, or evening. And I was watching the NFL combine, you know, watching those guys go through all their different exercises, and I'm seeing these stats, and I'm like, these guys are amazing, right? Just the athletic ability of some of them and what they're doing. And I thought, man, what is Disney by the numbers? What are some of the sheer numbers that Disney puts out? And
what's Disney's 40 time?
Yeah, what is Disney's 40 time? How many times do you think Disney World could bench 225? Like, what are they?
Depends on if the monorail is working or not.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I just got to thinking about, well, let's just start pulling up some of the stats out there. And so I thought we'd play a fun little game today where I call out some numbers of Disney World, and you guys try and guess what it is that we're talking about or what I'm talking about. So I thought that might be a little fun. And we won't go through every single one of these, but we'll maybe pull up a couple and talk about them.
Cool. How many ice cream sandwiches has a Dak had?
Oh, gosh.
That's
incalculable.
Yeah. Well, let's start with food. I thought that would that's a good place to start. So every year, 10 million of these are sold at Disney World.
Churros.
Not churros.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Nope. 10 million hamburgers.
Hamburgers?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the numbers. 10 million hamburgers, 6 million hot dogs, 9 million pounds of French fries, and 300,000 pounds of popcorn. Are sold every
300,000 pounds of popcorn that weighs nothing.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I mean, I think that's probably the most intriguing of all of those numbers when I think about it. You know, 10 million hamburgers, they're lagging pretty far behind McDonald's.
Yeah.
At least McDonald's claim. But 300,000 pounds of light, airy popcorn.
A lot of popcorn.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy, right?
And I wonder how many of those hamburgers were half eaten, then thrown away because they were purchased at Pecos Bill.
Yeah, that's right.
Or, and how many of those hamburgers are the, kids meal hamburgers, which are not good versus like a real one? I guess it doesn't matter. Hamburger's a hamburger, whether it's delicious or not.
True. It still counts as a sale.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So here's one that I thought was interesting. These are some crazy numbers. So originally, let's do kind of like a who am I? So originally, I cost $400 million to build, and it took 52 months for me to be completed. Who am I?
$400 million to build.
Magic Kingdom.
52 months. Yeah, Magic Kingdom.
You are correct. Yeah, Magic Kingdom. So Magic Kingdom originally was $400 million.
Geez, can you, like, today's number on that?
So
you've got a number for this?
I did this,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So in comparison, to build Cosmic Rewind was $500 million.
Yeah.
And to build Pandora, which I believe that's the whole area, was also $500 million.
Well, that's insane.
That is insane. And I look at it in terms of you need to add some time onto that too.
Yeah.
In my profession, leading one of the largest public works agencies in the United States, our construction times and the time frames just from 3 years ago and the costs, right? Just from 3 years ago. I mean, you can add a minimum of 30% to pretty much every project that exists. So if it was 52 months to do that, I promise you it's going to take longer today because of just how much more red tape there is to jump through, the different standards. Not to say that they built something that was unsafe back then, but there just was a different standard in terms of the design to the construction to, it's a lot easier, obviously, as a private company to procure materials than it is for a public agency like mine. But overall, and especially today where the supply chain still feels a big squeeze, I can't imagine what that would be.
But how has Universal been able to build Epic Universe in the time frame that they have?
It's a good question.
Because, I mean, how long? Tron took, 5 years?
Yeah, and, you had a pandemic, that kind of derailed a lot of that. But I'm just thinking overall, look, and by the way, fellas, a lot of those walls that we saw at Epcot when we were there in January, a lot of them are down. There's still a bunch of walls up, right? And some of those things have been under construction forever. And I think it's a good maybe comparison point. Some of these other theme parks move at a different speed than Disney does. And I haven't pinpointed the reason why that is.
That's weird, right?
I'm just not sure why that's
Disney,
happening.
Frankly, when it comes to the construction stuff here, they don't really move very fast.
Right.
No, but it does.
But Epic Universe is like, they're like, yeah, they announced it last year. They're like, we'll be done in 3 or 4 months. And you're like, what?
And that's a whole another park.
It's a complete theme park.
And it's going to be a big park.
It's as big as their other ones. Yeah. So
we love you, Disney, but come on.
All right. So speaking of the parks, I got some park statistics for you guys. So I am the smallest park of the four by geographic size.
Hollywood Studios.
Who am I?
That's easy.
Hollywood Studios.
Magic Kingdom.
It is Magic Kingdom. So Magic Kingdom is 142 acres. Hollywood is 154. Epcot is 300. And Animal Kingdom is 580 acres.
Well, I knew Animal Kingdom would be the largest, but I guess I would maybe put an asterisk on this, right? Because this is undoubtedly talking about the walkable area of the theme park itself. Magic Kingdom actually has a lot of space back there. In fact, they're going to expand beyond Big Thunder Mountain. Think about that part beyond the railroad. That's all part of the park. Yeah. And I don't know if that's being included as part of it, because that's not a walkable area, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Because when I was picturing, I'm like, oh, you've got every... You look at the map of Magic Kingdom, you've got everything to the north, right? And you're like, there's a wilderness out there.
Yeah. Another stat that I'll just throw in right now as we're kind of talking about these that I thought was just like mind-boggling is you can fit all of Disneyland in the Magic Kingdom parking lot.
In the parking lot.
That to me was an amazing stat of
stats,
the sheer size.
Speaking of stats, did you guys hear that quote that came out this week from, was it Iger, who mentioned that Disneyland, they have 50% more land? Am I getting that right? Did y'all hear that? Like, if they wanted to expand the park by 50%, they have the space to do so.
So I didn't write this down as some of the stats that I was pulling, but
50%, this is a... What you talking about, Willis? Moment for me.
Yeah,
50%.
I think it's pretty close to that because some of the stats that I was seeing.
I guess if you're taking the parking lots away,
so much wetlands and unused space at Disney World, like Disney World proper, if you will, the sheer size.
Well, I was leaving at Disney World. I thought Ryan was talking about Disneyland.
I am talking about Disneyland.
Oh, there's no way. Yeah, I'm like
he's Google sleuthing it right now. Because I want to know.
All right, I'm going to pull up another one while you're searching. Here's another one. There are 210 of me lost every day at Disney World. 210
lost every day. Cell phones.
No.
Mickey ears.
Sunglasses.
Oh, who cares about that? you want to know what? Both of my youngest two sons, they both lost their sunglasses this trip. See?
That's what I'm talking about. All right, here's another one. There are over 30,000 of me on property.
Cast members.
No.
30,000.
Trash cans.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Hotel rooms. Rooms. Yeah. There are over 30,000 hotel rooms.
Yeah. Crazy. That actually seems low, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, as long as we're talking cast members, what would you guess the number of cast members are at hired at Disney World right now?
Hired?
Yeah.
It's over 60,000.
I'd bet say 55,000.
77,000
okay.
Cast members at Disney World right now. That's amazing. It's its own city and metropolis.
It is. And that was the point, right? Don't forget, that was the point. But I think about that every time I go through the People Mover and, you see that little diorama of the city of tomorrow. But, little side note, as we were traveling the property and we would pass by the casting department, basically, And I kept thinking, again, we're there with my 18-year-old and I'm like, hey, buddy.
Go get a job.
This is where you're going to go to apply.
Okay, so here's what I found. Again, this is not what I heard yesterday, but they did announce an Avatar or Pandora Land at Disneyland.
What?
Yeah, they announced that.
Yeah, I have heard that.
So, and also Disneyland has the potential to be increased in size despite its suburban location, he said. I want to say that I heard from another source, or maybe even on a podcast where they talked about it's 50%.
Listen, if
don't
you take,
quote me on that. But
if you take the parking garages away, and don't forget that's how they expanded last time.
Yeah, was they
expanded on top of parking. Yeah. So if you took the parking garages away, added them to other parking areas you have at resort hotels, etc. In fact, you could even do off-site parking and start shuttling in and out. Yeah, the space is there.
Yeah,
and I think
because it's not a huge space to begin with. I think that's part of what you have to remember is those two parks, frankly, geographically are very small.
And I think Pandora at Disney World is, what, 14 acres?
Yeah, it's not a huge area.
It's not huge, but it's still, you know, if you're looking at Disneyland's footprint, 14 acres, like...
It takes longer to walk there than it does to walk the whole area.
True. Yeah. All right, here we go. So here's another one. There are 1,800 of these on a wall in one of the Disney resorts.
1,800 of these on a wall.
1,800 of these on a
wall. Can you say which Disney resort?
I'll give it away, but it's the Contemporary.
You're not giving anything away because that doesn't make it easier.
Those little mosaic tiles.
I was about to say it's going to be an Art Deco piece of some sort.
Yeah, 1,800 tiles, all up on that wall.
Up in there.
Yeah, as you're going on the monorail and you pass through, and they almost look like little Small World kids on the mosaic there. The reason why is because it was Mary Blair who designed.
Oh yeah, sure, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Speaking of the Contemporary, in our last trip, actually tried a new restaurant there for lunch. We went to Steakhouse 71.
Ooh.
We should. That'll be a future review, I think, that I'll kind of throw in as some bonus content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Was it good?
You know, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good.
Awesome. Steakhouse.
All right. You cannot buy me on property anywhere. So this is not a number, but you cannot buy this product on property anywhere at Disney World.
Dr. Pepper.
Bluebell ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, I can list all sorts of things you can't buy on property.
So no gum. No gum is sold.
That's true. That's true.
No gum is sold. I know that's a popular thing.
I don't know why. How did I not think of Dr. Pepper first?
Well, it was funny because every time we'd go to a restaurant, you know, Will would be like, "You have Dr. Pepper?" I'm like, "Why do you keep asking that question?"
So speaking of sodas and waters, over 13 million bottles of water and over 75 million Coca-Colas are sold every year at
75 million?
Yeah.
I got to do the math on that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
75 million? And what's the average cost of a Coke?
At the park?
$5?
$4.25, $4.50 is the average. Vending machines will be closer to $5.
Crazy.
$340 million, give or take, dollars.
Yeah.
Just in Cokes. Make a machine.
All right, you want to get into some attendance numbers? These were mind-boggling to me.
This probably is going to be pretty significant.
Okay, so I'll just give you the numbers. You call out which location you think they're developing or coming from. So average daily attendance, let's start with 34,000. Which park do you think gets 34,000 on average daily attendance? To give you comparison.
Animal Kingdom.
Man, they're all right there together. So Epcot is 34,000 on average.
Mm.
Hollywood Studios, 31,000. Animal Kingdom, 38,000.
Actually. I don't believe these numbers.
Interesting.
Daily visitors. And then here we go. Magic Kingdom.
I don't believe that Hollywood is the least of those three.
This must be... Okay.
So these are as of 2021, so that may have some to do with it.
I'm promising you today. Promising you today.
Maybe it Hollywood feels is like tighter because Hollywood is so small.
That could be. The perception could be. I don't know.
But these are guesses, right?
Because, yeah, I mean, because Disney doesn't officially release these numbers.
So, and I know there's a couple different theme park attraction style magazines or sites that do a pretty good job of guesstimating their attendance.
Yeah. Magic, by the way, 57.
I'd about to say, yeah, probably
almost double.
But, you know, there's double the amount of stuff to do there as compared to, frankly, everywhere else.
So then,
which is crazy when you think about, apparently it's the smallest in size.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I don't know about that, because it feels like it's more compacted, but apparently it's bigger than the Magic Kingdom. There's more
Not by much.
There's more people at Hollywood.
Yeah. Not by much. All right, so annual, we'll just go through the list here real quick. Annual visitors, Magic Kingdom, by the way, number one theme park visited in the world.
Yeah.
21 million people per year. Epcot, 12. Hollywood, 11. And Animal at 13 million. These are all, of course, estimates, but...
Yeah, the Animal one just really surprises me. It's a nice park, but...
I just want to say, you want to know... This is, if you really want to put it into comparison about how crazy this is, you know, Orlando, Florida as a city is a city of a population just north of 300,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to host 20 plus million people a year in a city of 300,000, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is, by the way, the number one tourist destination spot in the United States. That means it's ranking above iconic places like New York, Chicago, huge cities like Los Angeles, right? Yeah. So the number one tourist place in the United States, they say, is Orlando, a city of 300,000. Can you imagine the amount of power Buddy Dyer, the mayor of Orlando, has?
I know he gets to talk on the little tram on the way.
He gets to talk on that tram, you know.
On the way from the airport terminal.
I look forward to Buddy Dyer greeting me and saying goodbye every single time.
Well,
right,
just imagine, you know, had Walt gone to a different part of the country back then.
What could have happened?
Yeah.
I mean,
and think, too, at the same time about opportunities that Walt looked at to try and expand, particularly in the Midwest, where they shout them down, right? Yeah. They're like, no, you can't come here. I guess not the Midwest. It was going to be the East, right? Up in colonial areas and stuff like that.
Right.
Like what he could have done for the economy up there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a couple of other, I'll just run through a few of these. In 2021, during the pandemic, Disney World made $67 billion in total revenue and an annual profit of $7.7 billion. Crazy.
And then
during the pandemic.
And then Disney Plus lost all that money.
Yeah. I think so. It's crazy.
And I want to clarify something I just said, because I don't want to sound like an idiot, right? Walt wasn't looking to expand parks beyond up north. That was later plans and project. When I'm talking about Walt, I'm talking about his legacy. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we know that all of the parks around the world are thanks to Walt. So we give him the credit for it, even though he didn't open any of them. Except for Disneyland. So.
He gets the credit.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't want listeners out there to be like, what are you talking about? That was some crazy plan in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, let's get some transportation numbers in for you. So 400 of these on site.
Buses.
Yeah.
Buses.
400 buses. All of Disney transportation carries an average of 250,000 guests per day.
Hold up. Back up. A day?
A day. 250,000 guests per day.
So that can't be counted. That's got to be counted like each way, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the monorail alone.
This is important, okay? This is important. You brought
this is coming
up
from our public works guy.
Yeah, you brought this up, right? Houston Metro, the Metropolitan Transit Authority of Harris County, Houston, daily ridership on weekdays. This is as of third quarter 2023. So this is a real fresh number, 225,600.
Wow.
Jeez. That's a city of a metro area of more than 7 million people. And we have fewer people riding our buses than we have riding the buses at Disney World.
Yeah. Well, maybe if the buses in Houston were taking you to the Magic Kingdom or to...
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Place of pure joy and imagination.
That's a fair point. And, you know, Bob, if you're out there listening, and I hope you are, you know, you're not afraid of humid, hurricane-prone areas. So Houston would be a great place for your next theme park.
That's right.
Right in the middle.
Oh, there's a magical scenario right there.
So the monorail by itself, averages 150,000 guests a day. Just the monorail. That's wild to me.
Wow.
So of that 250 traveling, what is that? Over half.
Yeah.
Over half are on the monorail, which is only going to two of the four parks.
Well, so they must be counting the monorail from the TTC to the Magic Kingdom. So
yeah.
You're going to get all that bus traffic anyway, but then the monorail from Magic to Epcot to the resorts. Yeah.
Say that again. Go back. How many?
Well, from the stats that I was pulling, and I made sure multiple sources gave me the same number, or I threw it out, but they were saying on average, the monorail carries 150,000 people a day.
Crazy.
Yeah.
60,000 for Metro Light Rail in Harris County, Texas.
All right. Here's a crazy one. There are 325 carvings of me.
That's easy. You know that one, Randy?
325 carvings of me? Carvings? No, I don't know.
You're talking about the Tree of Life.
Yeah, the Tree of Life has 325 carvings. I was like, what carvings?
I'm trying to figure out what that meant.
I almost gave that one away.
And these are, so correct me if I'm wrong.
You're saying carvings on me.
On the tree.
On me, yeah.
I thought I heard of me, and I'm like, wait, what? We got someone out there whittling sticks? Or? Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but these animals that are on the tree are either endangered or extinct.
Yes, yeah, that's right. All of them are endangered or extinct. So speaking of some of the animals, I thought this was interesting. There are more than 10,000 pounds of food given to the animals daily at Animal Kingdom Lodge and Animal Kingdom Park.
I believe
10,000 pounds of food.
Yeah, but how much of that is popcorn? Yeah. I'm kidding. None of it is popcorn. They're not feeding the animals popcorn.
So another
for the ducks who find the popcorn on their own.
Yeah, they find it, man. They're on it. Another cool stat for Animal Kingdom. This is one of my favorite parks. There are over 2,000 animals there representing 300 species and over 4 million trees, plants, and shrubs.
That's right up your alley, dude.
Yeah. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. So this facility was originally home to an actual operating production and entertainment studio. Who am I?
Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So originally MGM Studios. You could actually see live movies that were being made and produced there.
I mean, that was the premise behind it was, hey, you can do that when you go to Hollywood and you can tour studio backlots. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what if we just did this here where we're already doing stuff? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. One more there at Hollywood. There are 54 different ride options on this attraction.
54 different ride options on the Star Tours. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Star Tours. Yep.
Star Tours.
Yeah.
54 different. It would take a person over 4 hours, which just would just be multiple throw-up sessions for me. To ride.
So you're talking.
Do it. Maybe there's our magical scenario.
How many times could you do Star Tours without throwing up?
Yeah.
how much money could you pay me to do that for four and a half straight hours?
All right.
The answer is not enough.
A couple more and then we'll close out here because I thought some of these were interesting. How many Christmas trees do you think they bring in to the parks during the holiday season? Christmas trees.
When you say bring in, I mean, the majority of their trees are not live trees.
Right.
So you were talking about all of the...
Yeah, all of the decor of that are holiday trees is what they have this labeled as.
2,500.
1,500.
Okay.
1,500. 8.5 million Christmas lights. 15 miles of garland. 15 miles of garland. 300,000 yards of ribbons all around Disney World.
Crazy.
That's why it's so pretty there during the holidays.
Yeah. Yep. That's how you do it right. I've got a new number to aspire to at home. 1,500, dear. That's what we're doing next year.
Christmas party this year. It's going to be...
Here's another great one. This couple has over 236 different outfits.
Well, Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
236 different outfits that they wear together.
Wonder how many Donald and Daisy have.
Yeah.
Come on. Not very many. You don't get to see Donald very often. I will say, by the way, I'm not a huge fan of the Disney 100 color scheme and outfit choices.
Yeah, that purple and silver.
It's, I don't know, that, in the words of Paul Hollywood, not your best work.
Okay, I'll just end on this one, which I thought was kind of inspiring, at least for me, is Walt Disney was 64 years old when he originally purchased the land in Florida for Walt Disney World.
Never too late.
Never too late. So I thought that was a great stat to maybe end on, is that you can always achieve your dreams, right?
Like, yeah.
That was his goal, and he put his mind to it and didn't let anybody stop him. I think we talked about that on one of our episodes before. Is one of the most endearing character traits of Walt Disney is he just would not take no for an answer. So yeah. I love that. Anyways.
And he didn't dwell too much on the past. He was always forward thinking.
Yeah.
Looking towards the future. Planning, dreaming, and he just...
There was no time or energy to spend, you know, in the past.
Yeah.
You're never going to get anything
no
done.
No wondering what if. No, yeah. No thinking, what if I had done this or done that?
It's just, what next?
What's next?
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, guys. That's what I had for today as far as Disney World by the numbers. I think it's a number one draft pick for me. Our team is going to draft Disney World number one based on their numbers.
I think that's I think they're pretty solidly at the top of the board.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll trade up if I have to get there. So I hear you. Speaking of draft, I think this is a great time to plug what is to come.
Oh, yeah. So we've been talking about this for a few months now. We've been doing these attraction ranking episodes. We've done all four parks at Disney World. And what we've been leading up to is going to happen next week. We are doing our ultimate Disney World attraction March Madness tournament, the very first ever. And I think today would be kind of fun to tease out maybe just a little bit about some of the seeds. And we'll get into the actual tournament next week and explain how it came together. But we could not do all the attractions. It would take too long. There's too many attractions to go through and to try to fit into a tournament bracket. But just some of the attractions that did not make the tournament. And I know, Randy, your wife's going to be upset with this. Dumbo did not make the attraction tournament.
I want to know, was Dumbo a first four out, or was Dumbo solidly?
Dumbo technically was a first four out, yes.
Okay, so that's interesting, right? Yes. You know, just missed the cut.
Just missed the cut. And just for the, you know, we're going to have 44 attractions throughout the four parks that made the tournament. 44 attractions broken up into four different brackets of 11 attractions each. Attractions like Alien Swirling Saucers, Magic Carpets of Aladdin. There's a few there at Animal Kingdom that didn't make it. So not every attraction gets to be in the tournament. You know, next year they just have to work on maybe getting new coaches, different players.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to upgrade some of the skill positions if you feel like you're going to stand a chance.
Yeah, but next week that's going to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been looking forward to doing this for quite some time to see which of these attractions at Disney World is going to come out number one, which will be Escape to the Magic Podcast number one attraction.
It'll be great.
It'll be fun. It's going to be
fun. I'm nervous. I'm already nervous.
I would say, Rob, it's going to be...
I traditionally, my team always chokes, so I'm really nervous here.
There may be some absolute heated debate. It wouldn't surprise me if one of us threw something at another one.
Whoa.
Maybe not that violent, but
we might have to video record this episode.
It's going to be pretty interesting. I just love this time of year. I mean, I know you guys do as well. Just college basketball season is ending. Tournament madness is starting up, and it's always fun to see where your teams are slotted. And we're going to do this with the attractions.
Nice. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Awesome, guys. Well, great episode this week. Awesome discussion. Always a pleasure to be able to share memories, thoughts. I love these numbers. I think that it is astonishing. It's eye-opening. And to be honest, I just can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always moving forward.
Okay. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
Take care.